You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout Sales Event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Nunes McLennan on a holiday Monday throughout the country. We're in here. We're working. The Grappler's in here. Yes. And our boy Steve is in here because Mullen.
He's a company guy.
You know Mullen's taking full advantage any day he can take off. And I support the move.
It's a stat holiday for staff, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Throughout the country.
No, it's not because we're staff.
No.
Yeah, not for us necessarily.
I know. I love that one.
But we like being on the air. We got a lot of things to say. It's a Monday, man.
Yes.
We got a lot going on here.
Yeah.
Right?
You got it.
So shout out to Mullen. You think Mullen's watching right now?
No,
or
he's sitting
right
in
now?
His garage with Larry.
And Al's brother is in there, too.
Oh, is Al's brother here?
No. No.
Al's brother's off?
The room is quite dark in there.
I didn't even notice that Al's brother wasn't here.
He said, screw it. And he is in Mullen's garage with Mullen and his dad.
And a bottle of whiskey and two pizzas.
We need to get Al's brother on camera at some point. Because the people want to know.
The next weigh-in. The next weigh-in. 2 weeks from now.
I think it's like it's basically like the Bill Daly card flip.
Yeah, he's going to do the Bill Daly.
But he'll sit beside Noodles and he'll flip over the cards.
Okay. But is he allowed to speak?
I think it's better if he only speaks when no one can see him.
Why don't we just... He'll flip the cards over from Al's brother's booth.
Yeah, but no, there's no camera in there. We need it on camera.
You can just name it. You can just say, hey, Al's brother turned it over. It's a 2, it's a 5, and a 5.
Is that what you're calling right now? 255? Yeah. You think you're going down 8 pounds?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
I hope you're right. I think you're right.
But I think people want to identify with Al's brother and see what he looks like.
Yeah, but there's like a home improvement kind of vibe to Al's brother as
well.
We're
never revealing him.
What, maybe like the guy from the fence or whatever?
Yeah, his neighbor, where you never get to see his face.
What was the guy's name, the neighbor? I can't remember what the neighbor...
I can't remember his name either.
Wilson.
Wilson.
Yeah.
Al Wilson. Borland and Wilson.
Okay, so we're going to have Al's brother sitting on his rear end, and he'll just lift the numbers up.
Yeah, we got to block his face, though.
We'll put a fence in front of him?
Yeah, maybe we can do that. We got a couple of weeks.
But do you remember Newhart show? There was Larry and Daryl and Daryl, and the one they never spoke. The one, like the
I never watched that show.
You never watched that show?
No, the Bob Newhart show?
It was very
When was
fun.
That on?
What do you mean?
When was it on? What era?
Well, 80s. Obviously, the late 80s.
Yeah, no, I'm not paying attention to that.
There was Larry,
Daryl and Daryl.
Daryl and his other brother, Daryl.
Okay.
Two Daryls.
Well, I'll take your word for it. I'm just saying I'm not familiar with that type of material.
All I'm doing is aging myself because not every our demographic is like, what the hell is Newhart?
Yeah. Bob Newhart is a name that, like, I know who Bob Newhart is, but I would assume a lot of people under the age of 35,
how
many people would know Bob Newhart?
Not many. Unless you enjoyed, like,
not our
sitcoms
age, like, not even your age.
But it's a pop culture reference,
I think
though.
It's TBS. All those shows run the old shows.
Yeah, like reruns and stuff.
Three's Company,
yeah.
The Ropers, all of that.
Like John Ritter's a name that... I'll bet you he's a name that a lot of people wouldn't know.
John Ritter was in Bad Santa.
He was in the original one.
Yeah, where he's like, you ain't... I can't even
remember
say
the movie Problem Child, too?
Yeah.
He was in that. Yeah, he starred in that.
John Ritter was a fantastic actor.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I think his son, doesn't he have a son that's into acting now?
I don't know. I know Tom Hanks' son, Colin. He's a huge hockey fan. Huge L.A. Kings fan.
There you go.
Kings have had a little bit of a slow start.
Did they get smoked again last night? Yeah, they did.
How about your Pittsburgh Penguins putting up a 7-spot back-to-back game?
Well, yeah, and it's not only Sid. They're calling up kids you've never heard of before, putting up numbers.
Yeah.
I was looking up one kid just because I'm in fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell is this guy? I've never heard of him before.
That's
I can't even think of his name.
Crosby, kind of, he's a level above other superstars because it's like he's got it subconsciously in his mind
just gonna
that
drag
he's got to carry this mail until these guys come back. And he refuses. They might fall off the rails. Who knows?
But at least they're making, like, we thought they were done, and then they put up back-to-back touchdowns.
Like, that wouldn't shock me if they had lost 10 in a row, but they just go and win a couple games, and it's like, that's Sid the Kid.
But I'm happy. I'm happy for them because I think Sid is a guy who takes that personally. He'd be like, I'm not letting this team drown.
Yeah.
Not good.
They've won three in a row now.
Yeah, good for them. Sam Lafferty, is that
That's exactly.
About?
Yeah. Lafferty, Daniel, you're on the tee. I had never heard of that guy before.
Yeah.
College player. I looked him up today again, and I couldn't even remember his name. It's 6 o'clock. This was like 6 hours ago.
Well, I did a game last year, and I remember the kid, Teddy Bluger. Now, Bluger...
That's not a name, though, that anyone has ever heard of before.
Well,
Teddy Bluger.
Yeah, left-handed shot. He scored two against Ottawa, or maybe the game before. And really sneaky little shot. Like, he's actually quite a nifty little player. Like, that's how Pittsburgh is even going to stay competitive, because Jimmy Rutherford has doubled down year after year. They don't have a lot of guys coming, so you got to find players.
Yeah.
Like Jake Gensel, would you argue, is a nice find?
Oh, very much so.
He's ended up, but Sid has helped him. But Pitt, Larry Brassois, I'm not a huge fan of Laurent Brassois. He had a tough go.
Hey, like it happens. Winnipeg.
It was
I think Paul Maurice said it best after that game. That's just, there's nothing to talk about here.
Yeah,
we sucked.
They did. They stunk yesterday. And watching that game, I didn't think they were very good, right from top to bottom. But you know, the backup, he didn't have a great night. And that's a rough go.
Well, it's so early in
it
the
is.
Season.
As Standings, long as it's tough to judge, but
you
like you were saying, Brian, off air, teams just got to hang around.
Just plug along.
You can't
man.
Be now. Minnesota got their first win today.
The expectations were not high with them. I don't think anyone had them in the playoffs.
Not at all. But, I mean, San Jose, now, the Patty Marleau effect, that's two in a row for them. They beat Calgary last night. I watched that game. Like, Patty Marleau looked good. I'm happy for him. Do you see how emotional he was? I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Standing ovation, and he teared up on the bench, which...
Well, we said it last week. He probably thought, I'm done. Like, there had to be a part of him thinking, no one's ever going to call me.
Yeah,
let alone
it takes San Jose to be garbage and a couple guys go down, or else I'm probably done.
But yeah.
The manager told him, you're done here.
Well, that makes it even more emotional, because that's the team he clearly wanted to
he
go
wanted
back
to. He wanted to be there. He moved home. He was there.
Yeah.
And then he gets the call a couple weeks in. Like, he clearly was emotional, and you could tell, like, he had that extra jump. You know when your goosebumps, like when he got a standing ovation. I thought it was fantastic. And then, you know, he was in. I think he got a plus. I don't think he got an assist on that first goal by Meyer where it hit his skate. But, you know, good for him. Like San Jose, they got to put it together. I thought Martin Jones was really good last night. So, you know, maybe they're better than they show.
Yeah, there's a few teams that you expected bigger things out of, San Jose being one of them, Dallas being another one, and they're playing right now, and I think they're losing.
They were.
Again. Like, I had them in the cup final, I believe, when I was projecting how I saw the season playing out. Now, again, it's October 14th or whatever, but not a great start. And
no, they've got to find a way to...
Tampa's not out. Tampa lost to Ottawa on Saturday.
They game.
Yeah, they come in and they blow out the Leafs on Thursday night. And you're like, okay, now they're going to start getting on a heater.
And then
they lose in Ottawa.
That reeked
what
of...
What the hell were they doing after that
I
game?
I was just going to say, that reeked of like an underground...
We'll stay in Toronto, fly into Ottawa on Friday.
We're at the underground...
Saturday morning.
Yeah. We're at the underground at the Fry Hut at 4 o'clock in the morning, Friday morning.
Yeah.
Practice and then fly in Saturday morning, and it was a 4 o'clock game, which is a weird time too. Like routine, you know, guys just getting up.
I'll take a 1 or 1 o'clock.
Either one or seven. Like four was a weird time. Like it was fine for our broadcast to get into it, but you know, going into that game, in the back of my mind, I kept thinking like they just had a big game against the Leafs. Like this could be a real like, and I think that's how the Senators played. They watched the game tape from against the Leafs going, we got to have the game of our lives here.
Oh, they were in bed 9 p.m. the night before.
Or else like that's going to happen to us worse. And they played fantastic. And I was happy for DJ Smith because that was his first win. And you know, you do it against a team that had 62 wins the year before. I'm sure it was quite special.
Yeah, not a bad start. TJ Quinn from ESPN later in the hour. We get the Monday Nighter tonight. We've got hockey games going on during the day. Big baseball game tonight. Game 3 of the NLCS. Back in Washington. Strasburg up against Flaherty. We had a walk-off last night. We've talked a lot about it because today is the 4th anniversary of the Bautista bat flip.
Right.
Which, one of the great sports moments in Toronto history.
Yeah.
And you look at Houston, it puts it into perspective. The jealousy that is there when you have organizations that win all the time,
right?
And as a result, they can accumulate so many more great memories. And then you look at a city like Boston, and it makes you just want to throw up. Because every year, every like 3 or 4 months, something else is happening.
Yeah, it's Brady,
yeah, and it's a parade.
It's a parade, but to get to the parade, it's Brady throwing a winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Right,
it's
right.
Mookie Betts with a walk-off home run at Fenway to knock out the Yankees, right, or whatever. It's Brad Marchand with an OT winner.
Right.
Where in Toronto, we're hanging on to something that happened 4 years ago. Meanwhile, since 4 years ago, Houston has won a World Series, and now they're back in the ALCS, right, and they go to the playoffs every single year.
Right. Now, one thing that you can't take away from Toronto was the Kawhi, you know, the you had your parade with the Raptors, Kawhi, like people will talk about the shot against Philadelphia.
Yep.
Like those things will resonate, and I think from the basketball standpoint, you can go, okay, like we've seen a championship, we've seen what the city can be like. You got to get excited about it. So but you're right. Times that by many times, that's what Boston's had.
Exactly. That's a one-off.
That's a one-off where Boston's had whatever, that one kid with the ridiculous sign.
Yeah. 13 different parades or whatever.
People just hate around here.
Yeah. And then you look at a team like Houston, where the Astros are in it every single year.
Competitive, yeah.
Outside of last year, whoever LeBron played for, you're like, all right, we're going to be in the finals and we're going to see some amazing things.
Any chance that
Golden State for 5 years?
Do you get a sense that LeBron's going to have his A game this year?
I don't know what to think of it.
Well, the whole China thing is really it's a bad taste.
Yeah.
Right now, and
it's a bad start to a new season.
It's got
to
cycle through. The new cycle will go away.
He seems awfully distracted out there. It's like when you're in Cleveland, you're playing ball.
Although I was just reading,
there's not a lot else to do in Cleveland.
In the break, that Rachel Nichols was tweeting out that there were some serious talks between players and the commissioner, Adam Silver, like pissed about, you know, how it went over, because they're over there.
Well, I think they're pissed that they were put in that situation.
Exactly.
Like, but it's not Silver who sent out the tweet.
No.
Like, what are you supposed to do? You make these plans months ago that you're going to China.
Right.
And LeBron goes to China every summer anyway. Whether he's going to play or not, he's going there to sell Nikes.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there was a piece in The Athletic. Shams Charania wrote a really detailed piece about, you know, a players-only meeting. I guess LeBron took it upon himself to set it up between both teams that were over there, and they sat down with Silver.
Tuned him up, probably.
I'm sure they did, but what like, how do you tune up Daryl Morey if you're going to tune somebody up?
Yeah.
Like, hey, thanks, Daryl. Like, you put us in this situation with your tweet. I don't know what Adam Silver's supposed to do about it.
Well, they were probably, would they be demanding action on Morey from an ownership standpoint?
They got to be careful with that.
I was just going to say,
because he's
free speech. Is
free speech, and he's pro-democracy and all that. The players better not let it get out that they were saying he's... I doubt the players would ever suggest that.
Yeah.
Because the players have been very outspoken using their own freedoms in the past.
But man, these guys have gone... For a league that's progressive and very outspoken and stuff, everyone is on eggshells tiptoeing around that scenario.
Yeah. Well, I think the marching orders have been handed out. Exactly. Stop talking.
Yeah.
And if it was marching orders, stop talking about Trump, they wouldn't adhere to it. But this, they're going to adhere to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the NFL gets raked over the coals, and they didn't handle, I don't think, the Kaepernick situation and the kneeling situation perfectly. But ultimately, I don't really think that was about them, you know, pushing back against the rights or against the movement. It was about money for the NFL.
Right.
The NFL was like, our ratings are going down. We're getting crushed. Guys, can you help us out? We're a business. We're trying to save money.
Right.
And it was all about how dare you, how dare you, how dare you. Now the NBA is like, hey, it's all about money.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that they're in the same situation.
Did you read the open letter from Kaepernick's agent the other day?
No.
I was saying, like, just detailing, you know, how Seattle, he didn't even work out for Seattle, but he had a meeting with them. And other than that, feathers.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I think he got blackballed.
Laid out all of his stats, laid out, he's been available. But I
have no doubt
he was acting like this guy. Like, the one thing that I, in reading the letter, like, Kaepernick's now, he's 32 years old.
Well, he's not going to get back in now.
But that's
how long has it been?
It's been a few years now. Like, the idea that because you see, you know, a third, people are saying the Steelers are going with like a third stringer. Kaepernick, it's been too long. Now, I think it's because the league said he's bad for business.
Right.
And he's got to go. Look at what the NBA is doing. If they felt like they had to get rid of Daryl Morey, they would have got rid of Daryl Morey.
Right.
I believe that. And I feel like the NFL, it's my opinion, said Kaepernick, he's bad for business, the bottom line.
Right.
And I think they squeezed him out. But now it's been too long.
Right.
Now it's not realistic to expect a team to be like, you know what, now we really want him.
Because
who knows what he'd be like on the field.
Well, that's
anymore.
What they're saying. He's flat out saying he's worked out 5 days a week for the last 3 years.
Well, I'm sure he has.
Call and like, you know, I don't know enough about the Kaepernick.
He can work out all he wants. If they blackballed him, he's going back.
Yeah.
Well, and they've worked out a settlement now.
Right.
So I don't know what they paid him, but they paid him something.
Yes.
So now it's, and I believe he signed an NDA. And
yeah. So I don't know. It was just
nothing's going to change now.
It was the agent laying it out. It was quite interesting.
Right. TJ Quinn in about 15 minutes. We'll come back and get to some confirm or deny before we get to TJ. Nice. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and up on TSN 2.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
Well, I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, so we figured it's a holiday. We haven't done confirm or deny in a while.
Let's celebrate the worst general manager in professional sports.
Yeah, we're thankful for the Fergie years.
Yep.
Right?
I don't know.
Well, without Fergie, you don't set the path towards where the Leafs are at today. A quality 3-2-1 hockey team. They're not 3-2-1 today without Fergie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a fact.
There is nothing left over from this that Fergie had anything to do with.
I'll bet you if you looked at the tree, the Fergie tree.
There is something.
There's got to be a connection somewhere.
Guaranteed.
Who he signed.
Draft pick. Drafted. Or something, because a draft pick that was given away or traded back, like turned into this, turned into that.
Someone do the digging for us. If you can.
There is a Fergie tree for sure.
Find a Fergie tree and let us know if there's
just a... Shove it up your rear end when you find the Fergie. There is no Fergie
tree. There's a Fergie tree and there's an acorn that dropped, and I'm telling you...
Turned into Rasmus Sandin.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Fergie, the ghost of Fergie's hanging around this team. 3-2-1. So the way this works is, it's not overly complicated. There's a statement that's made, and you either confirm it or you deny it.
Deny it, yeah.
Okay? This is one that we got into a little bit earlier this afternoon. Carlos Correa hit a no-doubt bomb walk-off last night, and he pimped it. He pulled out the Hulkster ear.
Deserved to.
Yeah. And he's throwing his helmet up as like a free throw at the plate, which points was, for creativity. I like that.
Yeah, that was quite impressive.
Confirm or deny a big home run in the playoffs would be the best feeling in sports.
I've already denied that, and it's just you because you have no connection to professional sports, and I've scored an overtime winner in the Stanley Cup playoffs against the Toronto Maple Leafs. So to me, that is the best sensation in sports.
An OT winner in hockey is...
Against Cujo.
Okay, so it's going to be that specific?
Yeah. Like
I'm just giving you the details. Do you want to let the details get in the way of a story here?
Well, no, that's your story. But have you ever hit a walk-off home run?
No, and I never
So what would you know?
I know. Well, that's just my experience. You have zero, so you're just dreaming that you would like that more.
Yeah, it would be outstanding. There's a lot of things I dream about. Lots of
things.
The
only thing I would say, I think a walk-off would be amazing. I think Kawhi... That Philadelphia
a game
shot,
winner at game the buzzer, winner,
game seven, though,
a buzzer
too.
Beater.
That was a buzzer beater, game seven to win the series, and you end up.
Yeah.
What about this?
You know, like that's
quality.
Close. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm going to deny.
Numerous guys that have sank a 20-foot putt at Augusta National to win the Masters. You wouldn't want that.
That's an individual, though.
Yeah,
like that's a little bit different.
Sport.
I think
he's
in team sports, the reason why, ironically, I would say the walk-off homer is because it's an individual moment within the team sport. You're up there on your own, man. You're in the batter's box. No one else is helping you. Nobody.
Right. Yeah.
No one's going to contribute to it. There's way more people in the stadium. I'm talking about a home bomb. We were all at the Dome for the bat flip. There were 50,000 people in there.
Yeah,
there were 18,000 at the ACC. And it went dead quiet. Right? Like, we're talking 50 grand. How many people were at Minute Maid last night? 40,000 people?
Yeah.
A walk-off bomb like that. And furthermore, you get to run the bases on your own.
Yeah.
You score a goal, and everyone's jumping on you. You're at the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You hit the Kawhi shot. Kawhi just started running towards the locker room.
Well, guys were on him. Like, it was... I would deny it because I think if there's at least... It may not be better, but equal. I think the Kawhi was equal to
it. It's close. I'll give you that. I'm going to confirm it, though.
Okay.
Confirm or deny, Rasmus Sandin will be back up with the Maple Leafs before the new year.
I'll deny that.
I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to confirm it.
Yeah?
Because, see, I think he can go down for a month and play very well. And there's no guarantees that inconsistency or injuries don't
I just
get
think
involved.
Dermott's coming up, and then it's going to be a rotating cycle.
Well, all of those guys, right? You could go away for a couple months. So the new year, though, is...
Yeah, you're looking at over 2 months now.
Ah, you know what?
You're looking at 2.5.
I'm confirming it.
I'm denying it.
You're denying that he's coming back?
Yeah, I'm denying. I'm going to say it's going to be into the new year. Maybe an injury.
I'm going to deny it, too. But the injury makes it quite intriguing, because if it's all about development, why are you... You know, you made this move as an aside from where the team's at.
Okay.
This Rasmus Sandin decision was not about what's best for the Maple Leafs. What they're selling is this is best for Rasmus Sandin. But if the Maple Leafs are desperate, let's say Morgan Riley gets injured and Dermott comes back and is in and out of the lineup, you would suggest they should call up the guy who made the team and is probably their best option. But if he's only going to come out and still play 14 minutes or whatever...
Right, you're going back to where...
Is that the best interest for his development? I don't know. I mean, hopefully they don't face that challenge. I think he's coming up after the trade deadline. I'd send him down.
And have a good season.
Like what they did with Dermott a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's my thought process. All right? Confirm or deny. Where am I here? If you trained hard enough, we haven't got into this story yet.
The goalie?
Sub-2-hour marathon.
Oh.
Did you see that over the weekend?
I'm not buying it.
I think the guy
What's not to buy about it?
He had 10 guys, like, blocking the wind.
No, they come in late and they hook
you up. I just want to hear the story. I would pay to hear the story that the guy took a cab or something. You know, you took the subway.
He had, like, the runners running, blocking the wind, and then he just wheeled up and ran under it.
He already had the world record.
Yeah,
like this guy is the greatest marathon runner in history.
He didn't even look winded.
If you formed a flying V in front of me, you get Al's brother, Grappler, Mulls, and you two, and I ran behind the shield, I'd run downtown in 10 minutes.
I didn't quite understand that, though. When did his team, like, I am so ignorant when it comes to marathons.
They didn't run 26 miles with
him. No, of course not. They would have broken the record, too. Clearly, yeah, they come and go, and I guess they're out there for, I don't know, support? I have no idea. I mean, I'm completely ignorant.
Apparently, the pace that this guy ran the marathon at, though, 17-second 100-meter dash, like, that would be the pace.
It's never happened before. You know how long they've been running marathons?
I just think he had too many things helping him out.
I thought I read he was running 13 miles an hour, something, or 13 kilometers an hour. Like, very
clearly,
like,
there's a lot of, like, the elements came into play. He must have had a lot of wind. You know, he was obviously just ready to rock that day. But still, man, a sub 2 hour marathon.
What is the confirm or deny?
The confirm or deny is if you trained hard enough, you could complete a marathon in under 4 hours.
Nope. Me? Zero chance. I'm denying
it. I'm denying it, too. I hate running more than anything on Earth. I hate...
26 miles?
Yeah.
I could do it.
No, you couldn't.
Confirm. No, you couldn't. No, I'm denying for you.
No, I'm confirming for me. Like, if I...
Dude, I saw you 10K. I saw you 10K in an hour and a half. An hour and a half to do 10K.
Yes.
I was not an hour and a half. I came on at the end and you saw me.
You had Roots track pants on.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you could run a marathon in under four.
Yeah, no way.
No chance.
And give me a year to train, I do it.
No,
a year.
No.
I'm telling you.
You're 40-some years old now, too. There's no way. Maybe when you were 30.
The only thing that would hold me back would be my knees, if my knees gave out.
Dude, so you'd be Michael Johnson then. You pull up lame and limping.
You'd come out of the gate strong. You'd be leading early, and then you'd just bail.
I'm telling you right now, I want to hear the story, and I know it's a fantastic story. Was it not a lady in the New York City Marathon that like got busted for
people get busted all the time.
Taking the subway or taking a cab.
Not this guy though.
I want to hear a story that this guy flat out like had a stunt double.
I almost pulled out in the 10K. I almost said enough of this because it was a cold, miserable day.
It was an awful day. I am so impressed by this feat though because of how awful I am at long distance running.
I thought you were good. I got in under an hour.
I want to hear that this guy's got a twin brother and he ran the other half. I want to hear some crazy story that's how he was able to pull it off. Like the Agassi wig.
For years,
everyone thought Andre Agassi had beautiful hair.
Turns out, fake news.
It slept on the lampshade at night.
Fake news. All right, TJ Quinn is going to come on in just a moment from ESPN, but the last confirm or deny. Ilya Mikheyev plays himself into a top six role by the end of the season.
Deny.
For the Maple Leafs.
Deny.
Deny. Quick deny. Quick denial over there.
Well, Zach Hyman's coming back. I'm going to say it's a possibility. I think he's good enough if he keeps improving and there's an injury, he could. But it's almost like one of those situations. He's having success where he's at right now. Don't force anything more on him. Let him grow there and continue to get better. And who knows what he can become.
But I think Zach Hyman's coming back.
Yeah, but I think Janssen is the target more than Hyman. Hyman's playing.
Hey, you're being Joe from the Bridge now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, this guy's had five good games, and Janssen's a target.
Andreas Janssen?
That is Joe from the Bridge. That is Joe from the Bridge jargon.
Andreas Janssen's played 1,000 games in the league now, and is a stable vet.
Joe from the Bridge, you looking at a potential target Joe from the Bridge.
I'm going to confirm it. For starters, he's not some kid. He's like, what is he, 25 years old? He just turned 25.
Okay, 25.
He's 25 years old. He's a big body. You know Babs loves this guy. He recruited him. He can't wait to tell you how great this guy is. And it's not Hyman. Hyman's going to come back and play. Janssen, no guarantees this guy gets to ride shotgun with Matthews and Nylander all year.
You're Joe from the Bridge.
Why is he guaranteed anything?
Not that he's guaranteed, but he actually earned himself and proved that he could play in the top six with those guys.
He played fine.
You're right, he played fine. I thought he played very well.
This is overdrive.
Very well.
No,
Jamie
Andreas Janssen,
well enough
Joe
to be
from
there.
The Bridge.
Well enough to be there. And
how is that outlandish? I didn't say that he's going to take Matthews' spot in the top six.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's not Joe from the Bridge.
No, it's not. Andreas Janssen is not, you know, a locked-in vet.
He's just targeted. He's targeted.
He's got a target on his back from the suit
Joe
man.
From the Bridge.
All right, so the Tyler Skaggs story was one, you know, we talked about it, but at the time, you know, clearly it was a tragic story. It still is a tragic story. It was a man in his 20s. He had a wife and kids, and he passed away tragically on the road. But more and more details are coming out in terms of what he was suffering from. You know, he clearly had a drug addiction, opioids, and outside the lines, and ESPN broke this story open that much more recently with news that he was getting his drugs through one of the PR staff on the Angels, and that the Angels were aware of what he was suffering from. And to chat more about that, we're joined by a man who was involved with the reporting from ESPN. Here is TJ Quinn. How you doing, TJ?
I'm good, guys. Good to be with you.
Thank you for doing this. So take us through this reporting, and there's a lot of bombshells in here, but is there one in particular when you found out, okay, this is what was happening, wow, this is a real game changer in terms of the story?
Well, I think it was the relationship between Eric Kay and Tyler Skaggs. Just that he went into such detail with the DEA about how long he and Tyler Skaggs had been doing drugs together, that the relationship began in 2015, so we're talking 4 years where they had this arrangement that Tyler Skaggs would give Eric Kay the money, and Eric Kay had the connection. He'd get pills, always oxycodone, and that they would snort them sometimes together. which is the hardcore way to do it. And Eric Kay was a longtime addict. I spoke to both his mother and his wife on the record, and they said he'd struggled for a long time, but that they said when he met Tyler Kay, or at least when they realized that they were both opioid users, that it just sort of brought him to this other level. He had a couple of stints in rehab, relapsed both times. And then after Tyler Skaggs' death, he had another really bad episode, went back into rehab. He's still in outpatient treatment now. The element, though, about having formed the team. Now, I want to be careful how I say it. I don't want to say the team knew, because that suggests it was some, organizational wide knowledge. He told the DEA that he told two people. One was lower level employee, but the more important one was his boss at the time, Tim Mead, who is now president of the Baseball Hall of Fame. And Tim is a vice president with the organization. Major League rules, as we looked them up, are very clear. If anybody in the club outside of a player is aware that some player or anybody else is using a prohibited substance, they have to inform the commissioner's office immediately. And then they can get involved and test the player. So Eric Kay told DEA agents that in 2017, he told Tim Mead that Tyler Skaggs was using. And then back on Easter Sunday of this year, Eric Kay had an overdose, was hospitalized. And the next day, his mother and wife said Tim Mead was at the hospital visiting Eric when Tyler Skaggs kept texting his phone number. And they said, look what's going on. Tyler Skaggs apparently is using two. You need to do something about it. The organization needs to intervene, or words to that effect. Tim Mead denies it, said, I don't even want to use the verb recall because it sounds like a dodge. I'd never heard that. I would have done something. But Eric Kay, again, we had excellent sources, and then his own lawyer confirmed it on the record, said to the DEA, at the risk of, facing federal obstruction charges if he was lying, that those were the conversations he had.
Well, it seems like Mead is in for the most difficult road ahead. I mean, Eric Kay seems like a young kid that was working in the PR, and he had a friendly relationship with one of the players, and he was buying his drugs on the side, but he reported it to this Mead, and he looks like he's got the most to lose in this, doesn't he?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, Eric Kay could lose his freedom if he if he's charged with a crime. I mean, he's clearly exposed in terms of trafficking. You've got investigation. You got a federal investigation. You've got a state investigation in Texas. That's a state that likes its law and order. They could go after him for trafficking. Someone could try to make a case that he's somehow responsible for Tyler Skaggs' death, although he says he thinks it's unlikely, or told the feds that he thought it was unlikely the pills he gave Tyler were the ones he took that night. Tim Mead, I've not heard anything about criminal exposure to him for sure. And the way it was characterized to me, it's like he went to him and said, hey, Tyler's doing this. You need to do something about it. What I was told is that while Eric Kay was in rehab in 2017, Tyler Skaggs kept texting him saying, come on, I need you to hook me up. And that he was upset about it, and that Tim Mead said to him, some random conversation, Tyler's a good guy, and that Kay went off and said, no, he's not, he's a piece of you-know-what, I'm trying to get clean, he's harassing me for drugs. So it wasn't like he asked him to do something. On the other hand, in April, his mother and wife say that they did ask him to do something and find out what was going on. So to me, could his job be at risk? I don't know. It's possible. And I don't know exactly how the Hall of Fame is going to determine whether he's telling the truth or whether Eric Kay and the equivalent of a sworn statement and his mother and wife on the record are telling the truth.
TJ, in reading the article and watching on the clip on ESPN, The one thing that stood out for me, I thought it was reported, maybe you can confirm this, was that he saw him do three lines of Oxy that day. Was that correct?
Three lines of something.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay, because it's an important distinction. He snorted, he walked in his room, saw three lines. Two were blue, one was pink. The two blue he recognized as OxyContin. Those were similar to the 30 milligram pills that he'd been getting him for years. The pink one he did not recognize. I don't know if he knows what the origin of it is or not. But it raised the suggestion anyway that Tyler Skaggs was snorting something that he had not provided him. Obviously, he's got some motivation to put as much distance between himself and Tyler's death as he can. But then he also still said that he had two blue pills, but that, yeah, he witnessed him do it, but that when he left him, as far as he could tell, he was still fine. He was high as a kite and, you know, partying, but that he didn't seem to be in any distress.
And the other thing I want to follow up with, my understanding was there was other players that he could identify. Like, would those players be in trouble as well? It sounded like there were up to five guys that had some issues as well.
Yes, he named five players. Now, I don't know the full extent, but of exactly what he told them, but they gave them the names of five players who he believed and had used opioids that I think four of them that Tyler Skaggs had requested opioids or, you know, oxycodone on those players' behalf. And I'm not clear on whether he told the DEA that he gave Tyler Skaggs those pills or if he delivered them himself, but that he gave them the name. So it's something that Major League Baseball is absolutely going to want to know, because if that comes out publicly, they can immediately go test those players and start to find out what they know.
Well, TJ, it was obviously incredible reporting. It's a tragic story nonetheless, but now more and more details continue to come out, and I'm sure that's not going to stop anytime soon. So we really appreciate it. I know it's been a busy day for you. Thank you for clarifying some things for us, and we'll do it again down the road.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
There's TJ Quinn from ESPN. Again, Tyler Skaggs, who passed away during the baseball season. They were down in Texas. He was an Angels pitcher. He had a wife and kids.
He was 27 years old.
And this report comes out that Eric Kay, who was a member of the communication staff with the Angels, by no means, you know, a management type, ownership type, but someone, you guys would know this, you're interacting with them every single day.
You're always around the PR guys.
The PR guys are always around.
Yeah.
And it turns out, based on this reporting, Eric Kay was supplying the drugs for Skaggs, but Skaggs was pushing for him,
right,
and was paying for him and paying for Kay's drugs and potentially paying for other players on the Angels.
Well, that's he found comfort in somebody that had the same addiction as him, because I know if I ever went to anybody in my organization and was looking for that, it would not be dealt with the same way. It would be, listen, we got to get you some help here, but, because I'm not into that game. Nobody else is. So what's going on here?
But that's why it was so unique. This was an addict who was trying to recover, and then the two of them ended up, you know, it sounds like partying quite a bit, unfortunately. And, you know, it just, with how many layers of help there is at professional sports levels, it doesn't surprise me, and I'm not taking a shot at any organization, but if somebody knew something along the way, but you know, until you confirm it, I played with guys that I know that had, you look back, maybe had some drug issues or whatever, but you never saw them do it. You never, you know, and they showed up like pros. Unfortunately, you know, it takes a death like this and a tragic death like that to maybe open some eyes. And sounds like this Eric Kay could be in a little bit of trouble if he supplied the drugs and
right.
was there along the whole
yeah.
time.
So, well, when you mention, when words like trafficking are coming up,
yeah,
you're in trouble.
That's a very different story.
Yeah,
we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline. Tee up the Monday Nighter tonight. Packers, Lions at Lambeau.
Pack.
Packers -4.
That's what you're taking?
Okay.
That'll break his heart.
It's a tough one for me tonight. And we'll get to our Raptors player of the day. You're going to want to hear this, because we're giving away a pair of tickets to opening night at some point Friday afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, October 22nd, it will be a historic night down at Scotiabank Arena. Not only will the Raptors be opening up their season at home with Zion Williamson in the house, but they will be lifting their NBA championship banner into the Raptors. And we have a pair of tickets to the game to give away this Friday All right, so here's how you can win them. Every day this week, we will name an NBA champion, Raptor of the Day, and on Friday between 5 and 6, we will give you the cue to call. If you are the first one through with the correct names, all five names, you will be there October 22nd to witness history in the city, history down at Scotiabank Arena. Today's NBA champion, Raptor of the Day, is...
Who is it?
Kyle Lowry.
Nice.
Kyle Lowry.
What a way to kick things off for this giveaway.
Speaking of banners, did you see the Kings? Apparently they're going to take down Taylor Swift. She has some banner up at the Staples Center, like most sold-out shows or whatever. Yeah, yeah. And Kings fans were apparently complaining about it.
Why?
And they're going to they listen to them, and they're like, yes, during Kings games, they're going to take down the Swift banner. Like, how lame is that? Why are you even concerned about it?
What are you looking up to the Raptors for? Like, what does it matter up there?
No kidding.
They got bigger problems.
Exactly.
They need to worry about start winning some games, and then they can take down banners.
The curse of Taylor Swift, as the Grappler's pointing out.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah. So anyway, the Raptor Player of the Day, champion of the day, is Kyle Lowry. So we will hand one out every day, Monday through Friday, and on Friday between 5 and 6, we'll give you the cue to call. And if you call in, name all five Raps. You're going to see the game opening night. It's going to be a great night. I'm looking forward to it. I will be down there. 8 p.m. tip-off, too. Perfect for us. And get out of here, go down, grab a bite, get into the barn. Yep. Zion Williamson, his only game here in Toronto. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the props tonight. Aaron Jones had a big week last week. I do not expect him to exceed 69.5 yards rushing tonight. I will go under the number. Or four touchdowns. Over the number, total receptions, Valdez-Scantling, though. He has not been very good. Devontae Adams out. I think he's going to get a couple of catches tonight. I think he'll get four-plus. Over the number. Under the number, longest rush in the game, 26.5. You can throw down 20. You can score 92. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So... it's been a fun afternoon. Yeah. Thanksgiving Monday. Well, we came in here, a couple of takes, a couple of laughs, confirm or deny.
Did it
all. Good. The Leafs are in action tomorrow night with Minnie in town. So we'll tee that up. Bruce Boudreau back in town for his only game of the year.
Yeah. The morning show that should be well rested.
Yes.
We'll get at that first thing in the morning.
That's right. First up, we'll be back tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Very well rested.
Right. Yeah, I guess they know the right people. I don't know how that worked out. But
I do not know that one.
Leafs launch, Matty Cause.
They will be firing on all cylinders at 6 a.m.
Right. Oh, everyone will be back tomorrow. Oh. There's no one around here today, but everyone will be back.
Town. Well, at least it was a nice drive-in.
Right.
That was a blessing.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice drive-in. So we got that to look forward to tomorrow night.
Mullen will be back.
Mullen will be back. Yep. He'll be hungover, I would assume.
Him and Al's brother.
Al's brother will be back.
All gooned up.
Yeah, we got game three of the ALCS tomorrow. We'll be teeing up or looking back on game three of the NLCS.
Will your Green Bay Packers have won?
I think they win by 3.
Ooh.
So they win, and the Lions get a cover tonight.
And Mullen, if you're listening, or Al's brother, bring us some turkey sandwiches.
That's right. Yeah. The least you can do. We're out of here. Happy Thanksgiving. We're back tomorrow
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. And they'd like to thank their customers for the continued support during the construction on Eglinton. Come on in. They're open.
The Nissan Clear Out sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. That's like paying only $75 a week.
Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Ave. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. The Nissan Clearout sales event is on. Lease the new 2020 Nissan Rogue Special Edition from $327 a month for 60 months. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.